2 Thessalonians 3. We're going to get in the discipleship booklet, and what we're doing, and we're going to review. We're coaching our church on how to walk through the four steps of spiritual growth that we have in our church. And last Sunday night, we challenged everybody here, if you were here, to take one person, one new convert, could be a wayward Christian, over the next 12 months through the four steps of spiritual growth. Okay, that's the challenge. Now, what I'm going to do for the next 3 weeks, most of you have gone through not necessarily this discipleship book, but booklet. I'm going to skim through this with our church family on Thursday night. Now, those folks, they're not skimming. They've never gone through discipleship, but I want to challenge all of us to take one new convert and help them to grow. Okay, and so 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Now, here comes the prayer request. Okay, so Paul here to the Thessalonians, he says, pray for us, and then he gives his prayer request, that the word of the Lord may have free course. Can everybody say those two words together, free course? Ready? Begin. Free course. Free course. I'll talk about that in a minute. And be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Father, help us tonight as we endeavor to do your will, to grow ourselves, but then to reach the lost and bring them to maturity so they can please you, they can love you, they can love others, they can serve you and serve others. And Lord, help us as we're just trying to have a free course. The course is smooth to get the Word of God out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, one more thing. Ushers, we have some discipleship booklets back there, right? Okay, let's do this. If you were in the nursery last week, you were sick last week, same thing with the patio. If you weren't here last week or you didn't get one of the discipleship booklets, raise your hand. We want to get one. It doesn't, anybody, visitors, guests also, get the booklet, okay? Raise your hand. Everybody needs a booklet. If you were here last week and you said, well, they took mine, it's up here on the table. Okay, it's up here on the table, so you can come and get it, and we won't look at you while you're walking up here, okay? All right. Got it? All right, we're all squared away. Look at number one. Number one, we believe the Lord, in your outline, number one, we believe the Lord desires for his word to have free course. Write that down, free course. How many ever good in a golf course? Golf course, right? You ever go golfing? They call it a golf what, class? Course. I've been to a couple nice golf courses. One time, where's Brother Ron? Is Brother Ron here? One time, Brother Ron took me to a golf course in Compton. The course wasn't free. It was sort of bumpy. The golf course was sort of bumpy. Really, there are holes, and it was pretty inexpensive. Look at the first bullet there. We believe the Lord desires for us, for his word to have free course in lost people. Next bullet, in saved people. Look at number two. Free course means go swiftly. Go swiftly. So the Lord's saying, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, I pray that the word of God would be able to go swiftly. Or, here's one bullet, without interruption. Next bullet, that it may run. These are, I got these out of different commentaries and just different studying. Next bullet, that it may run. Next bullet, spread rapidly. So Paul's prayer was, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God, that the word of God may go swiftly or go without interruption, or that it may run, or that it would speed rapidly. I mentioned this last week. We don't, church growth experts, you don't make them your authority. But sometimes they take surveys, and they're sort of helpful for pastors. I mentioned last week, church growth gurus have said that churches with a simple spiritual growth plan grow spiritually faster, and because they grow spiritually faster, they grow numerically. Churches, they also say, the so-called church growth gurus say, that churches that do not have a simple, can everybody say simple? Simple. A simple growth process are struggling both spiritually and numerically. Look at number three. We understand from God's word that there are many distractions that cause the word of God to not have free course. And we're not going to review much, but we read that in Matthew. I preached a sermon on Matthew 13 on Sunday night. The enemy is one of those distractions, so the word of God doesn't have free course. That's why Paul was praying. In Matthew 13, the enemy, persecution, the cares of this world. Okay? We need to take care of ourselves, but we get caught up in the world. Okay? The deceitfulness of riches. What do all these do? The Bible says some of them choke out the word. They do different things to the word. Look at number four. Our four-step spiritual growth process is an orderly way for the word of the Lord to have free course. By the way, these same gurus, they say, the church growth gurus, they say this. They say life is so complicated because of internet. Look, you got your cell phone here, and I don't know all the apps, but there's all kinds of, look, every once in a while, somebody'll say in brother Stevenson's hometown, they get their phone, it's like 81 degrees. That bums us all out anyway. And so you're checking the weather. We're getting text messages, we're getting cell phone calls. You go to your computer and there's emails. And then I got one today, just a little bit ago, it said, you have a child molester predator in your neighborhood. First of all, says who? Who's saying this? Okay? Distractions. There used to be a day and age, you had one phone in the house. Okay? You're not getting phone. By the way, I like a cell phone. Now, if I don't have my cell phone, I feel like I'm missing some of my clothes. We leave without a phone. My phone. I mean, you'd rather leave the house without your wallet or without your money than your phone. But these church growth gurus, they say this. If you have a simple, by the way, Jesus was simple. We've complicated things. If you have a simple growth process in your church, it helps people. It's like a magnet. It draws them to it. They're like, wow, I can, and they don't, maybe if it's a new Christian, they might not even know the terminology, but they're like, four steps to grow as a Christian, okay? Look at number five. The byproduct will be 30, this quoted in Matthew 13, 60, and 100-fold fruit in our lives and the lives of others. And we read that in Matthew 13, letter A, 30, 60, and 100-fold in our lives. And again, we want the word. Colossians 3 talks about let the word of God dwell in us richly, okay? And it's going to bring fruit in our lives. Letter B, 30, 60, and 100 fold in the lives of our new converts and wayward Christians coming back to the Lord. I think it was Matthew 13 message. One in 1,000 sea turtles, that hatchlings survive. One in 1,000. They can live to be 80. Do you know how many Christians that get saved that survived? Not a lot. You know, Brother Bob Stevenson is a. By the way, he's not just a construction worker. He's a real good Christian. Our welder out there lives in Hesperia. Is that Hesperia? Brother Bob drove all the way out there to help him get a church. Yeah. Listen, if someone lives in the next town, we're like, we'll pray for you. But I'll be quite frank with you. You're just not meeting very many Christians that stay faithful for decades and decades. Okay? These same gurus, they say, if your church can maintain 15% of new converts, you're doing really well. Okay? Again, we're not trying to keep up with the statistics, but these are just things that we put in our mind and think, wow, you're a good, healthy church if you have 100 visitors and 15 stay. Okay? Look at letter C. 30, 60, and 100 fold in the vision God has given us here at Pacific Baptist Church. Little both there. Understanding the cares of this world, the vision and the process will help us with the Lord's church planting vision. Now, we have a church planting conference next week. Okay? Let me say this. The thought is, Paul said that the word of the Lord may have free course. Okay? So that there's not too many distractions. One of those distractions is the world. How many would say the world is a distraction, right? Distraction. I've said this. If I had my way, I'd move my whole family and the whole church to an Amish community in Pennsylvania. Just sort of hard to do that. The world, man. Okay? But if we can, with God's help and with some wisdom, get that word without it being mixed with the world, God says you can have 30 and 60 and 100 fold fruit. Now, let's apply that. We can apply that to an individual Christian. We can apply that to ourselves. And then we can apply it to the vision. One of the visions that God has given us is church planting. You say, why are we having a church planting conference next week? To inspire us and inspire our college students and instruct us and instruct our college students to go win souls, baptize them, and plant churches. Now, with the world, you don't have as much spiritual seed or seeds germinating. And that's what he says in Matthew 13. We're not going to turn there tonight. We preach a whole sermon on it. Let me explain. Our Southern Baptist friends, many thought that maybe they were a little bit worldly. Say, we're the independent Baptists. They came out and they were independent. Okay? They wanted to be more separated. I won't go into all that. But here's the thing. Please get this. Salty Christians, please get this, and this isn't to throw stones, but this is to sort of help us understand. Salty Christians have more fruit. The Southern Baptists, of course, they've been around. They're those are our roots. They have 35,000 churches in America. But get this. They have one preacher boy, and I just got this statistic this week from a sermon. Actually, Jim Beller was preaching. They have one preacher boy per five churches. See, what's a preacher boy? Some kid or some young adult or someone that says, listen, I think God's called me to preach. Let's go. Okay? So they have one for every five churches. That means, and again, how they come up with these numbers, I have no idea. They have about 7,000 preacher boys getting ready to prepare for ministry. There are approximately 14,000 independent Baptist churches in the United States. They have one preacher boy per one church, okay? Which would mean they would have, if I'm doing my math right, about 14,000 preacher boys. By the way, our church, not to pass on the back, but thank God we get to see more than one preacher boy per church, okay? We probably have about 50 of them. Matter of fact, we have about 25 of them that we're working on the process for them to train to be possible church planters. So the point is, when Paul said, my prayer is that the word of God would have free course. In other words, that word, there's a lot of distractions, and we need to do all we can to pray and do some of the things that we've talked about. Number six, real fast, because then we're going to get the discipleship booklet and go through it real fast for the first chapter. Six, our church going through the four-step discipleship booklet is to help with our lives, comma, new and wayward Christians, and the vision God has given us here at Pacific Baptist Church. Okay? Now, let's get our discipleship booklets, and I'll put it on your lap. Again, Jed, it would be great if some bus teenager on your bus route, or maybe some young adult that comes, how old are you, Jed? 19. You know, Charles Spurgeon pastored at 19. Okay? So I think if he pastored at 19, you can pray and ask God, Lord, give me one person that I can disciple or I can take through the discipleship booklet to help them to grow in grace. Amen? That's part of this, okay? Now, let's look. We're not going to go. Look at page number two. I'm going to read a lot of this. Get your pens out. I'm going to read a lot of this. Say, what are you doing? I'm hoping that Sir Paul here on the front row can learn a little bit. And by the way, many of you have already gone through part of this. But so you can, last week, I gave the little number that if nobody in the world was saved today, about 7 billion people. If we had nobody saved in the year 2013, in other words, nobody was saved here, nobody was saved in Singapore, there's no saved people on earth. And Cody got saved. And then this year, Cody won one person to Christ. Just one. Not a revival that has 1,000 saved at it or 100. Just one. He wins Chantee to the Lord. He needed to get saved. He gets one saved, and then Cody, this year, trains Chanty to be a strong enough Christian so that he can win one and reach one. So now, Cody reaches Chanty. Now, the next year, Cody reaches Brother Bobby. Okay, he gets one more. And now, Chanty gets Sir Paul. And he trains him. Okay, now the next year, you get Gina, she's single, you're single, but don't touch her. She's way too young for you right now. Got it? Just to let you know that. Now, so Paul meets Bruce and wins Bruce to the Lord. It's about time some of these guys got saved. We've been praying for you guys in men's prayer meeting. If everybody just reached one person a year, in 33 years, we would win the whole world to Christ. And that's what we're trying to communicate. We believe in getting as many people saved as possible, but we're trying to communicate in our church, let's reach one. Okay? So let's look real fast. Page number two, you see the steps there, and we're not going to go over those right now. At Pacific Baptist Church, our goal is to develop Christians who love God, love others, and commit to serve God and serve others through the ministries of Pacific Baptist Church. A wise pastor once stated that a new convert's first 3 months are the greatest time of spiritual growth. That's why when someone gets saved, let's get them on this four-step process right away. Okay, let's not leave them and basically spiritually abort them and just leave them. No, let's help them to grow in grace. This is why it is important that we help new converts in our church through the four-step growth process to help achieve this purpose. Our plan is outlined here. And, of course, there they are. And we're going to go over to the next page. I got to go through quickly because there's what I want to cover tonight. Look at the next page, page number three. Okay? You see, love God, love others. You got the scripture there, serve God, serve others. We've preached, we've taught messages on that. Over there, of course, is ministry involvement. March 24th, we're going to have on Sunday night after church, after we preach the message, we're going to have a job fair. It's going to call it a ministry involvement night, and we're going to have bus ministry, and we're going to have the RU ministry. They're all going to have a table, and what we're going to do, we're going to challenge the people who have been saved and baptized and join our church that gone through the discipleship. It's now time to serve. You don't have to wait to be in a church for 6 years to serve the Lord. Serve God, serve others. Look at the bottom of the second of the page three. This booklet is organized around these four steps and the two levels under each step. Our goal is twofold. First, that everyone who comes to our church knows where they are at in this process, and maybe someone's already been saved and scripturally baptized. They've already, you know, they're all hanging out right at number one, but we want them to know. We'll continue through, first, that everyone who comes to our church knows where they are in this process, and we'll continue through the steps for greater spiritual growth. Secondly, that the members of Pacific Baptist will know our growth steps and can help those who come to our church to grow through our four steps. These are not inspired steps. The scripture's inspired. It's just a simple plan. Okay, next, go to the next page. Four, please. This is step one, loving God. You say, why is loving God step one? Because God said that's the first and great commandment, okay? And then, of course, loving God. We've already preached a sermon on it. You can't love God if you're not saved. You got to get baptized. You begin to grow spiritually. Go to the next page, page five, salvation and baptism. Salvation. Now, please get this. More than once, when we've gone through the discipleship booklet with somebody, when we get to salvation, now they've already been saved, or they thought, and they've already, we think they've been scripturally baptized. But I don't know how many people, when they first go through discipleship, and you're sitting there looking them in the eye, and you talk about Nancy Hambrick, okay? Nancy, when she went through discipleship, I think it was Mrs. Myers or somebody, talked about salvation, and then you ask, now when did you personally accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? And they get that look like, and many times they get saved. By the way, we don't want a bunch of people in church that have either no profession or a false profession, or they're as confused as about salvation as a termite in a yo-yo. Okay, and you say, oh, in a Baptist church, it happens sometimes. Charles Spurgeon said he believed that maybe 50% of his members were not saved. Whew. That was a long time ago. If 50% of his members weren't saved, I bet there's a lot of unsaved people in churches in America today. So what do we want to do? We want to make sure of this. Okay, look under salvation. All the way to the top, salvation and baptism. Our Christian life on this earth can be compared to a journey we're taking. Our final destination is heaven. We want to look at the starting point of our journey, salvation. Okay? And there's so much more that can be said. And by the way, when you go through the discipleship booklet, don't do what I'm doing. You don't go through it this fast. That's why the new people get dismissed, okay? we wouldn't want to go through this real fast with them, okay? Salvation, the little right there in the bold print. An act whereby a person receives eternal life after death. It's before death, but about their eternal life after death, based on him placing his faith in what Christ did on the cross. Three phases of salvation: justification, sanctification, and glorification. Justification, there in your outline, the act whereby God declares a sinner righteous in Christ, based on the sinner placing his faith in Christ alone for eternal life, the starting point of our Christian life. We're not going to go through all the verses, okay, because of time. Sanctification, a process whereby we become more like Christ and less like the world. We become more in practice like we are in position, in our position in Christ, the Christian life journey on this earth. Then you got John 17, 2 Corinthians 3:18. A lot of more verses. This is not real thorough. This is it's a survey, really. Glorification, the act whereby God transforms the believer, making him like Christ in heaven. That's the finish line. Number one, man's sin problem. I'm just going to read through this real quickly. I'm not going to even explain these. I'm going to stop and explain a few things. I want you to have these filled out, though. Look at next page. Sin brought the sentence of death. In your notes, fill that out. Death. Sin brought the sentence of death. See that? Then go to the next point. That's, of course, Romans 6:23. There are two deaths, physical and eternal. Of course, Revelation 21:8 talks about hell. Hell is real. Next bullet. Sin made it impossible for us to reach heaven on our own merit. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10. Number two. Many of us know this. I'm just walking through. I want you to have these filled out, but there's some areas I'm gonna stop and talk a little bit. God's salvation plan, number two. Then the little bubble, God's love provided a solution to our sin. Aren't you glad that God gave us a solution to our sin problem? Salvation is a gift that is received. Now, you will go through with this individual on a scale of 1 to 10. How sure are you of your salvation? Hopefully they'll say 10. If they say 9, you need to make it clear. Okay? We want to make sure everybody's saved in the church. Eternal security. Now, quickly, eternal security. The definition, the belief that once we are saved forever, we cannot lose our salvation. I'll never forget on the phone when my brother explained to me about eternal security. He says, you cannot lose your salvation. Nobody can pluck you out of God's hands. You're saved forever. I was excited. Aren't you glad you're saved forever? Okay, we're going to talk about two little doctrines, the Arminian and the Calvinist doctrine, in just a minute. Okay, salvation does not depend on us. Okay, go to the next page. We're going to skip the verses. By the way, David, Lot, these were examples of men who went bad. You know, David was a murderer and he committed adultery, but he still went to heaven. Made a lot of bad decisions and so forth. Look over the Bible principles on eternal security. Now, get your pen and write off to the side Arminian doctrine. Arminian doctrine. Just write. It's not in your notes. Okay, you say, Pastor, what's that? That's a belief that you can lose your salvation. Okay? Many well-meaning people think you can get saved. Then you look at a dirty billboard and you lose your salvation. Then you get saved again. And then you get mad at your wife and you lose your salvation. Okay? Now, that causes you to, by the way, we believe in the fear of the Lord. But man, we can't be walking around wondering if I lose my salvation and I get it back and I lose my salvation. I'm glad that we're secure in Jesus. Then there's a Calvinist doctrine. Write that down, Calvinist. Okay? See, what's that? So Paul was chosen to go to hell. Bruce was chosen to go to heaven. Chanty was chosen to go to hell. Cody's chosen to go to heaven. So you don't need to go soul winning. Or you can go soul winning But it's not, no big deal. Because Chanty's going to hell anyway. Cody's going to heaven anyway. James is going to heaven. Perry and Phil, they're going to hell. You have to worry about it. Now, by the way, do you know, I talked to a pastor this past week from another state. His daughter's leaving a Bible college because that Bible college has two problems. One, they quit using the King James Bible. Number two, they teach Calvinism at the Bible college. You say, what does Calvinism do? Number one, it squelches your soul-winning zeal. You say, why? Don't worry about it. Everybody's, you know, whoever's going to get saved is going to get saved, and whoever's going to be lost. By the way, my God and your God is not going to send people to hell and they don't have a free will. In other words, they don't have a choice. Okay? Aren't you glad that our God is a lot more loving and gracious than that? And we won't go into, but please understand this. You will have some unsaved people, and the reason they're unsaved is because of their doctrine. Maybe they went to a church, okay? And we won't spend a whole lot of time on that. Okay, number one, it's under Bible principles for eternal security. We are not saved by works. We got the verses there. Most of you can memorize, can quote them. And we do not remain saved by work. I did nothing to earn salvation. I can do nothing to retain my salvation. Number two, salvation is something that we can be sure of in this life. How many times you talk to somebody and they're sort of religious, say, are you 100% sure you die to go to heaven? And they say this, nobody can be sure. Man, I'm glad I'm sure. We had one of our men in the Camaro department just die. I don't even think he was 50 years old. Aren't you glad that, nobody wants to die. It's just one of those streets you have to go through to get to heaven. Okay? But I'm glad I don't worry about it. Okay? Next, look at number three. When we are saved, we enter into a family relationship with God. Baptism. Now, millions of our Baptist forefathers were martyred because of baptism. Look at number one. Why should we be baptized? By the way, I was baptized as a baby. How many were baptized as a baby? Raise your hand. Yeah, most of our church. Okay. Then I was baptized, then I wasn't saved. I was at the beach, bunch of people out there. They sort of gave me a prayer. I didn't understand it. They didn't really maybe they gave a clear presentation of the gospel, but I didn't get it. And they said, come on over and get baptized. They took me to the beach. They baptized me. Boom. But I wasn't saved. Then I got saved, and then I got scripturally baptized in a New Testament Baptist church. So I've been baptized three times. Okay? Has anybody been baptized three times? One, two, three. Good. Three of us have been baptized three times. Look at the little bubble. Baptism is the first act of obedience that a Christian must take. Okay, you got the verses there. Look at the bubble. Baptism is a picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Now, let me, you can turn the page, I'm going to look up here just a minute. Arminian, the doctrine, makes you so afraid. Again, we should fear God. And I preach sermons on the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But God wants us to serve him out of love. And out of gratitude. I told a story a couple months ago. Every once in a while, the family will watch Leave It to Beaver. Some of those old, great doctrinal movies of the faith. Well, we didn't have popcorn that night. So I said, okay, I'll tell you what, kids. I'm driving to Target, but I'm not getting out of the car. You know what that means. I'm in my flip-flops. That's Beaver. Okay. And so I get in the car, we go to Target. I'm a mess. I'm like, I'm in the car. I'm not getting out. I'm on the phone. I'm talking to a pastor in a distant city. And then the kids come. They got the popcorn. They got the microwave popcorn. They come in, and I'm all right, get it, you know. And I start pulling out. I'm still on the phone. I'm like, all right, I'm leaving. I'm in the parking lot. I'm like, okay, I got to go. Because I didn't want to get a ticket. And all of a sudden, I saw a red light going on and off. And the kid said, hey, it's the police behind us. They said, wonder what's going on. I said, we're getting pulled over. It's all that pastor's fault. Pull me over. They said, he said, you know why I pulled you? I said, yeah, I was on the phone. Now, I wanted to say there's a pastor in a distant city that needed some help. How many, when you get pulled over by police, you have, like, you're like, I'm a Christian. I got a good story. That's how I felt. But I'm thinking, this guy has more people lied to him in one day. I'm not going to give him, just give me the ticket. And then he says, can I see your license? I'm going, I'm in my flip-flops. I said, I didn't even bring my wallet. And then he says, this is right over in front of Target, right in front of, what's that, Fresh and Easy? He said, come on out of the car. My kids are in there. He said, sit on the curb. I'm thinking, I hope my people aren't in there shopping. Sit on the curb. I'm over sitting on the curb. Oh, first he says, put your hands up. He checks me. I think my kids were all laughing in the car. Sit on the curb. He said, okay, check me. He said, all right, go back in the car. The kids are like, hey, what's going on? So he, by the way, this was Signal Hill. How many know Signal Hill police are the lesser of the nice ones? Anybody know what I'm talking about? When I was a kid, they said, don't get pulled over by a Signal Hill police officer. Okay? And so I told a story before, but I'll quicken it up. So he comes over to the window, and he says, I don't give anybody breaks. I wanted to say, I didn't ask you for a break. Just give me the ticket. We're going to go home and do some popcorn. He said, but I'm going to give you 3 breaks today. 3? He said, number 1, you are on the phone. He said, number 2, you don't have a license. And he said, number 3, your registration tag, your tags are expired. By the way, that's not my car. That's my wife's car. I went home and told my wife. She said, I sent the wrong we sent the Chevrolet tag or information or insurance on the van. And so he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you go on all of them. I'm like, wow, we have an angel for a police officer. Here's the point. I wanted to hug the guy. I wanted to take him for dinner. To this day, I have a sense of gratitude. I want to do something. You say, why? Because he gave me grace and mercy. He didn't know me from anybody. I'm thinking, he went back. Listen, he was about to arrest me and put a gun in my head. And then he comes. I think there was an angel in that car and said, let the preacher go. Go easy on him. But here's the point. It was very spontaneous. He didn't say, now you should say thank you. That's how God is. God saved us, and we didn't deserve to be saved. You say, well, I came to God. And by the way, some of our hymns that we understand, we don't want to pick on all the hymns, but some of the hymns are sort of off, you know, we came to him. No, he came to us. By the way, he came to us more than one time. That's a different in Arminian and Calvin. We're so thankful that God saves us. Real fast, let's get to the next point. We're about done here. Number 2, what does baptism consist of? The word baptism means immersion. Bible baptism, we're always done in water immersion. Next bullet or bubble. Baptism always follows salvation. Okay? That's why I got baptized twice before I got saved, and then I got baptized once after saved. Number 3, who is to be baptized? As we are, have already seen in the scriptures, those who have been saved can be baptized. Look at number four. What if I say no to baptism? Again, I'm skimming through this. You are disobeying God in one of the first commands he gives us after salvation. By the way, don't be... If you get someone, if you witness to someone, they get saved, don't be afraid to ask them to obey the God that just saved them. Okay? You have the scriptures and you teach them. The first step of obedience is baptism. Number four, what if I say no baptism? You're disobeying God and one of the first commands he gives after salvation. Next bubble, you will stunt your spiritual growth. Okay? By the way, baptism, please look up here. Baptism, you're getting baptized into a local church. Okay? You're also identifying with the doctrine of that local church. Years ago, Brother Myers told me that Brother Chapel, they had a guy that was an older man wanted to join their church. But he was baptized in R.A. Torrey's church. Anybody know who R.A. Torrey is? R.A. Torrey is an old-time, he was a Protestant, he wasn't a Baptist, and Brother Chapel said, you were not baptized in gotta get baptized again, okay? I rebaptized my brother right up there. I didn't initiate it. He did because the church where he got baptized. Now, I got a phone call. I'm done. You can close your booklet. I got a phone call today. Actually, I was 2 or 3 o'clock brushing up on my message. Actually, the close right here at this point. I got a phone call from one of our really good godly men in our church, and he said, Pastor, I don't know how to say this. He says, I'm frustrated. He said, maybe he didn't use the word frustrated. He said, people I work with and I love, I just don't know if they really love and read and study the Bible. And he wasn't upset. He was just like, ugh. I want to help them to love God's word. And I said, let me share something with you, my brother. And this is for all of us here tonight. God doesn't call us a dog. He doesn't call us a horse. Thank the Lord he doesn't call us a cat. Sorry, cat lovers. He calls us a sheep. Sheep. Old Testament, we're sheep. Pastors, feed the flock. He calls us sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. God doesn't just randomly get an idea and just, can't think of anything else. God calls us sheep on purpose. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but let me say a couple things about sheep. They're not very smart. They're not very smart. I'll go a step further. I heard a message this week by a shepherd. The guy literally is a shepherd. He's a preacher, but he's a shepherd. He has a farm of sheep. He went on to say more like, sheep are dumb. There's a lot of things. A sheep gets on his back, sometimes he'll literally die. That's why you know what we need to do? We need to pick up the sheep when they get on their back. Don't pick at them, pick them up. Sheep don't know how to eat properly. Sheep always want to go eat somewhere else. You can have a sheep, and I don't know exactly what they eat, but in their great where they eat on their farm, you can have them in the pasture where they have the very good food. And they'll go over to the fence where there's another pasture and put their neck out as far as they can and eat from the other pasture. By the way, the shepherd was saying, there was a fence here, there was my sheep over here, and maybe it was another farmer, and then there was another sheep, a herd of sheep over there, and he said, my sheep, which I had a great pasture for them to eat, my sheep was putting his head trying to eat over here, and guess what? The sheep over here was trying to eat over here. By the way, sheep, they can't eat, they can't drink from a river. You need to bring sheep by still water, the Bible says. Okay? Sheep, the best water for sheep is the dew in the morning, early in the morning. Sheep could literally survive off the dew that's on the grass in the morning. One of the reasons sheep can't drink from a river or any running water because the way their mouth is, when they drink, it's running, it could like drown them. The water goes up here. I was explaining to this man in our church, he's a good guy. I said, look, we're sheep. I said, number one, understand that. God called us sheep. And the people that you're working with are more, even more sheep because you're sort of like a shepherd. Be patient with them. And then number two, help them to eat. You know what all this is? We're just trying to help people how to eat. We're trying to help Christians so that when they eat, they'll grow. And again, the challenge is this, and I'm going to say it over and over. Nick, get one. Get one. Sergio, just one. Maybe that one might be an RU. Get them saved. Get them baptized. Encourage them to join the church and go through these four steps of growth. Okay, let's stand again.